Good morning. Very thankful, excited, and happy to be here this morning. I appreciate the song that was just sung. I'd like to talk a little about that this morning. By the help of the Lord, the devil wants us to think that we're all by ourselves and that there's really no use to try, or that we're weird, or I don't know what all thoughts he's brought to your mind. That the other side's winning. That the Lord's way is old-fashioned. That we need to let down things that we've once known to be true, or that we do know to be true. I'd like to look at a scripture this morning to encourage us. It's in Galatians 6 and 9. Appreciate your prayers this morning. It says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Another translation says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, because in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." You know, you ever been tired? I know we've all been physically tired, but have you ever been emotionally tired? Have you been mentally tired? Have you been spiritually tired? Yes, I have. And am quite often. There's a song, and I'll probably refer to the words of this song several times throughout this time this morning. But it says, "The world's fierce winds are blowing." You know what direction they are blowing? Directly contrary to the direction that you and I are supposed to be walking. And so as a result, we get tired. We get weary. The Lord has some remedies for us this morning. I'd like to talk about those remedies. Some keys. I'd like to share some keys with us this morning. Some encouragement. Elijah, maybe we won't turn there for the sake of time, but Elijah grew very weary at one point in his prophetic ministry. And it's always been an amazing story to me, because it was after the time of possibly what I would consider to be the pinnacle of his entire ministry. And he had gone to Mount Carmel and had won, I would say, in biblical language, "And the Lord wrought a great victory." They had 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of the groves, and seemingly all of Israel united behind them, doing the works of the flesh, worshiping Baal, forsaking the true God. And they had gone 3.5 years without rain. And they went up to Mount Carmel, and the Lord proved in a mighty way that He was the only true God and that all others were false. And the people, it said the people bowed down and they said, "The Lord, He is God." And Elijah saw that, and then Elijah said, "All right, let's get rid of all the priests of Baal." 850 of them. 400 priests of Baal, 450 prophets of the groves. I'm not sure exactly what all is meant by that. But 800 false prophets destroyed in one day. It seems like there would be a real turning of the tide there. And there was. And then the rain came. And Elijah saw all that. And then the very next day, he received a message from the queen, who was in charge of all the prophets who had lost their lives, She said, I'm going to kill you by tomorrow about this time. So do the gods. She invoked her gods. You know, Elijah ran. And he came, and we know the story. And, you know, the Lord could have said, you fool. But he didn't do that. He met him there at the cave. And he said, what are you doing here? He wanted to talk with Elijah. He said, what are you doing here? And Elijah said, I'm the only one left. And I have been very jealous for the Lord God. And I have worked hard. And I have proclaimed what is right. And I stood up to the king. He didn't say all this, but I imagine these thoughts were all going through his mind. Just kind of a flashback of the events of the last 3 or 4 years. I went and I stood up to the king and his wicked wife. And I said, it's not going to rain for as long as the Lord says. And then I was in hiding and the Lord sustained me. And then we came out of hiding and defeated the prophets of Baal. And just recounting the events, I've done all this. I've been courageous. But it's not working. There's nothing good. He said, I'm the only one left. Everyone wants to follow Baal and I'm the only one left. You know, I wonder what all the reasons were why he thought that after the great victory he had. But the Lord sustained him on his journey. The Lord sustained him with refreshments, and then the Lord wanted to get him to a place where he could speak to him and say, you're not the only one. You know, this morning, have you ever felt like that your beliefs are extremely unpopular in the world? You know, I imagine sometimes that the women feel it maybe to a greater degree than the men do. But we feel it too. When we go out in the world, Christians have always been different. But it seems like that they're more different today. Because the darkness is getting darker. When I go on a job, I've been on a lot of construction jobs, and I don't know if I've ever told any of the workers there that I work with that I don't cuss. But they know I don't. And they'll start saying something, and sometimes they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it that way. And it's because there's a difference. And sometimes the Lord, or sometimes the devil, many times, if he can get an opportunity, he wants us to get in a place where we feel like it's no use doing what we're doing. That maybe we're off balance in our thinking because we're so much in the minority. Or maybe that we're not really being a good witness because we're so weird. That nobody will listen to us. That we're the only ones. I want to tell you that the Lord has people all over the place that trust in Him. I have met them. I have worked with them. They might not always look like you and I, and they might not always talk exactly like you and I. But you know what? There's a spirit there, a fellowship. I've ran into that so many times and been able to have Bible studies with them. So I just want to put that, that's not really my main burden this morning. But you're not alone. So just remember that. The song, number 489, says, I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. The world's fierce winds are blowing. Temptation is sharp and keen. I want to zero in on those phrases this morning. You know, we ought to have a prudence about us that understands, that just takes for granted that when we live And when we go out in the world, that the world's fierce winds are blowing. Compromise is never an acceptable method of coping with what's happening. Whatever the Lord has shown you, that keep. By the grace and the power of God. Don't want to turn to... Well, let's go to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Wonderful prophecy of the Messiah. What he would do for his people. The 28th verse, it says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." It's talking about a time where the very strongest of the strong, speaking from a natural sense, would feel like buckling under circumstances. The youth, the ones that are supposed to have the most energy, would not in themselves be able to sustain themselves, to be able to do what they were supposed to do. But it says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I want to again remind us of the verse that we started with. Let us not be weary in well-doing. That's not just talking about, when it says well-doing, it's not just talking about the things that we say, you know what, I'm going to do a good deed today. I'm going to go, I'd like to give some money to this cause, or I'd like to do this. It's talking about the whole spectrum of the Christian life, the things that we do that we feel like are necessary and good and proper to do. The things that sometimes we have to do in the face of lots of opposition, the things that are not popular, just the way that we live in general. When we go out, we are sometimes a spectacle in public and sometimes a reproach. But the Lord wants us to be able to do those things with the knowledge that no matter how tired that we get, no matter how faint that we feel, no matter how unpopular we are, that the Lord has a renewing and a strength that He can give us that can sustain us through those times. 2 Corinthians 4 and the 7th verse. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." You ever wonder why the Lord chose the spreading of the gospel and the light of the world to be committed to weak human vessels that have faults and sometimes inconsistencies, and we get tired and we have physical bodily needs and we get hungry and all these things? Why the Lord didn't commit the spreading of the gospel to angels, where maybe we could have these holy, these supernatural stations and angels would be there. You want to hear the gospel, all you got to do is go to one of these places and you attend church and it's led by one of these beings. He did it all through humans. His Spirit and His power through human beings. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? Why? That the excellency may be of the power may be of God and not of us. The Lord has always wanted to demonstrate His power in the earth. And what better way to do it than to take something that is naturally weak and change it in such a way where everyone that's looking on can say, there is nothing natural that can make this happen. We'll get to more of that in just a little bit. It says, we are troubled on every side. but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So, maybe we'll go down. I'd like to read all these verses, but I'd like to save a little time too, because I have some other things I want to read this morning. Maybe we'll go down to the 15th verse. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are eternal. I'd like to read an article that I came across online. I've been studying about the bristlecone pine trees, native to the state of California. I don't know exactly how old the oldest ones are. Scientists feel like they have found two of them. They live to be an extraordinary age. And scientists really don't know how old they can get to be. They're real gnarly looking trees. They're kind of short. They live out in the desert areas and in the harshest environments. These bristlecone pine trees, scientists feel like they found two of them whose age is around 5,000 years. They've drilled little holes through the middle of them and found the growth rings and analyzed. Now, I kind of doubt they're quite that old, because it seems to me like the flood would put an outer limit to the possible age of those trees. But they're very, very old. I was reading about the bristlecone pines. Here's a paragraph about them. The bristlecone pine's success in living a long life can be contributed to the harsh conditions it lives in. I'm going to read that again. The bristlecone pine's success to living a long life can be contributed to the harsh conditions it lives in. Very cold temperatures associated with high winds, in addition to a slow growth rate, create dense wood, meaning some years they grow so slowly they don't add a ring of growth. Due to the slow growth and dense wood, the bristlecone pine is resistant to insects, fungus, rot, and erosion. The lack of vegetation where they grow makes bristlecone pines rarely affected by wildfires. In Psalms, the first chapter, we won't turn there, but it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like what? We all know this, or a lot of us do. A tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Here in Oklahoma, we don't have trees here as much as... there's a different kind of trees that grow here. The soil here is not quite as good where I live. We have a lot of tall trees in Kentucky, a lot of big massive trees, but I found that there is a place here in Oklahoma where the trees grow tall and wide, down by the river. Go to the Oklahoma City Chapel, great big tall, I don't know what it is, cottonwoods, oaks, those kind of trees grow there. And anywhere by a river bank down here in Oklahoma, you can find trees that they last years and years, and they don't really, they're not very often uprooted by the tornadoes, and they can survive the drought because they're in the low places where the water flows. and they last for years and years. Well, that's what the Lord compares us to. The Lord created many things in the universe. I don't think that His comparison to things that He created to teach us spiritual things was just, I don't think that it was just that He looked and found something that He had already made and said, hey, that's pretty similar to what. No, the things that He created possess properties that were specifically designed to teach us about Him, about spiritual things. He created light like that. There are so many different lessons in light and how Jesus is the light. How the light of God is so powerful and so warming and so revealing truth and all that. Well, He created trees with another purpose. And the trees teach us about how He wants you and I to be in this life. In Isaiah, the 41st chapter, I'd like to turn there. I don't have this one written down, so I'm going to have to find it. Listen to this. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I'm sorry, this is in the 17th verse. I don't know if I said that. Isaiah 41 and 17. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. This is another prophecy of what the Lord was going to do by sending the Messiah. The plan of salvation brought by the babe in the manger that we just got done singing about and talking about. You know, I love this time of year because the songs ring so true. What do some of the songs say? Chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. That verse reminds me of John 10 and 10. I came to bring life, that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. He comes to make His blessings flow far as the curse is found. It's not that the curse is taken away and that the devil doesn't exist anymore. It's that He came to put something, and He did this by design. We'll find this out in just a little bit here. He said, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see, and know, and consider, and understand together that there can only be one answer, that the hand of the Lord hath done this. You know, that's the purpose. That is the purpose for God making human vessels to be conduits of energy and power and light for Him, that we can show the world what the Lord can do, that when they see it, that they can only come to one conclusion, that the Spirit of the Lord is manifesting and working and has changed lives, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. And what this is talking about really is not a forest, but rather an oasis. I flew it's been about 2 years ago now, but I went to Kenya, and on the way there I flew over the Sahara Desert. And I was amazed at how long, it was just miles and miles. That plane was going over 500 miles an hour, and I believe I flew close to 3 hours over that desert. The same view out the window. It was so incredible. Do you know caravans cross that desert? How can they do it? They do it because they map their routes to go through these places where the water comes up through the ground, and right in the middle of the desert, hundreds of miles in all directions, nothing but sand. But in this place, there's green grass and a pool of water and shady green trees, food for the animals. This is what the Lord is talking about. The trees, I'm going to plant in the wilderness all of these trees. What do the trees do? It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You know, the Lord has a design for you and I that in the middle of the great darkness that is the world, that you and I can rise up and be a tree that provides a benefit to mankind. We have fruit that we bear that we can share with others. There's shade that they can rest under when they're tired. You get the point. It's an analogy, but I believe it's very... This is not any kind of a stretch of the imagination. The Lord has compared us in the Scripture to trees. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the trees. What are trees made of? They're made of one of the most perishable substances that I know of. If I take a 2x4 and I leave it outside, 2 weeks later it's going to be gray. Because of the weathering process from the external forces. If I leave that 2x4 outside for 2 years, there's not going to be much left of it by the time that the rain, the freezing and thawing cycles, the termites, the wind, and the different bacteria get done with it. It's going to turn back into dirt. You leave something outside that's made out of wood and it won't be very long before it starts to deteriorate. Even cypress and redwood and all the different woods that people build their porches with to last a long time, they don't have an indefinite lifespan. They start deteriorating just more slowly and they will deteriorate. But these trees, the ones that... Pine doesn't have a very good life against the weather. It starts deteriorating right away. 2x4s, a lot of them are made of pine or fir, or spruce. And they're soft woods. They don't do very well. But you see these trees that have life in them. And they last for hundreds and thousands of years. The General Sherman Sequoia, they say it's between 2,300 and 3,700 years old. It's several hundred feet tall, and think about what these trees do. They are made of wood, and yet they don't deteriorate. They're constantly being renewed, subjected every day to the worst that the elements have to offer. The wind, the biting rain, the cold, the cycles of cold and heat. And yet their wood, their substance is being renewed every day. And the smallest twig that has the least surface area to wood ratio, or the greatest that can be, you'd think it would rot just so quickly out in the weather. These little twigs, you can break them off in the springtime and they're just green and they're full of life and the wood in them that is being renewed. Well, that's what the Lord wants you and I to be like. It says, though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. We are perishable too. Our bodies are perishable, but we have something inside us. If you and I are following the Lord, we have something that the winds of the world that are blowing, that are contrary to you and I, they can blow all they want to blow, and the Lord will renew us to where we are subjected to the external elements, all of the things, and people will look at that and say, there's something there, because there's no deterioration. They don't cuss when they get mad, or they don't get mad, and they don't when things don't go their way, they don't fly into a rage like I did 2 hours ago, and they see that, but when they don't see anything, I'll tell you something. For a living, I build and install cabinets. I build things like this pulpit and stuff like that. And you know what I have to do to keep that stuff from deteriorating? I have to put a finish on it like this. You know, a cabinet is my idea of what the world thinks a human being ought to be like. They say, get rid of all the toxic environments. Don't be around people that hurt you. Get away from that. Surround yourself with luxury and all the things that feel good. Because that's how you can survive. That's how you can thrive. That's the wrong way to look at it. The Lord wants us to be in the middle of those environments, but still renewed day by day so that we can be the food and the life and that we can provide fruit for others to look and they can become trees for the Lord too. The plantings of the Lord. There are so many scriptures that talk about people being trees in the gospel. And when I build a cabinet, it looks beautiful. But the wood's all dead. If I set that cabinet outside, it doesn't matter how pretty it looks. It starts deteriorating right away. The Lord doesn't want us to be some dead piece of wood that's been carved on to look pretty on the outside. He wants us to have something inside of us that's constantly renewing us where we can be subjected to the pressures, persecution if need be, droughts, all the different things, just like the trees, and we are renewed day by day. Maybe we've talked enough about that. I hope you get the point this morning. Jesus, in John 4, maybe we won't turn there for the sake of time. I've got a couple other scriptures I want to read this morning. But it said, when he went and talked to the woman at the well, and they hadn't eaten yet. His disciples went to buy food. Jesus talked with the woman at the well. They came back. They said, "Master, eat." And he said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." And so they said, "Did anybody bring him something to eat? What did he eat while we were gone?" And Jesus said to them, I want us to get these words in our mind. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. This is one of the keys to thriving in the world today. We cannot expect for salvation to be some sort of a club that we join. We get this card and we shove it in our pocket and we can pull it out anytime we're in trouble. It's supposed to be an immersive experience that compasses every part of our life. And sometimes, see, the scripture at the beginning said, let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not lose heart in well-doing. You know what? One of the easiest ways to do that, sometimes we can say, I am tired, I just can't do it anymore. And we're tempted to give up. And we're tempted to quit doing the will of the Lord. And we're tempted to just kind of walk away for a little while and take a break from, you know what, I have been doing all this good stuff. I think I'm just going to take it easy for a while. Jesus said, I get meat from doing the will of God. Yes. You know, we ought to take that for ourselves. And the very times that we're tired, and the very times that we feel beat up by the world, those are the times that we need to be seeking for a deeper connection with God. Those are the times that we need to be seeking, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? I will tell you from personal experience that doing what the Lord wants me to do, when I feel the Lord speaking to me and saying, I'm going to be very honest with you this morning. Preaching is not something I would have ever assigned to myself to do. But I want to tell you that doing, when I feel the Lord talking to me and giving me something to say, and I say it, even if I feel like it went badly, and I do many times, that there is a deep fulfillment that I did what the Lord wanted me to do. And it's like it feeds me, and it sustains me, and it rewards me. And that's what the Lord, He wanted to teach. He wasn't just bragging. He said, hey, I got something special you guys don't have. He said, this is how you're sustained. You do the will of God. The people that get tired and they throw in the towel and they lose heart, like it says not to do, are the ones that said, I've had enough of this. I've done it enough. I think I deserve a break. I don't want to do that anymore. No, when we give up, many times it's because that we decided that the will of God wasn't that important and we quit doing it, not realizing that our sustenance comes from doing that. Hebrews 10 and 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Without compromising, without being blown sideways by the wind, the world's fierce winds that are blowing. Well, that sounds good, but how do we do that? So another key is given here. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The knowledge that the world's fierce winds are blowing contrary to the direction in which we ought to walk ought to spur us and propel us in the times that we have with each other. You know, we have the ability to positively influence each other. You know that we can be a bolster. The scripture says two are better than one. When a group of people meet together that are wanting, maybe they all want to serve God. But maybe one of them is having a really hard time. Maybe all of us are having a hard time in one way or another. One person may be tired in this sense. This person over here may be struggling with some fierce temptations. This person over here may have gone through some real real physical trials and on and on and on. But when we get together, you know, the world's fierce winds don't stop blowing when we come in here. Okay? They keep blowing. They influence us and tempt us to, when we get together, the conversation, the natural trend of, I've noticed that the natural trend of conversation with other people is downward. It's easy to get into this kind of this gossiping mode and then this mode of talking about church problems and we talk about this and that and we kind of get, and I'll tell you something else. There's also a trend to, I've noticed this, that it's not really as easy. It's a lot easier to talk about something negative or talk about problems than it is to encourage one another about what the Lord's done. What has the Lord done for you this morning? Well, you know, brother, he did this and this, and we don't have to, when we get together, we don't have to make it all formal and uptight. Like I said, we can be friends. But I want to leave you with this thought. Endeavor to make it fashionable to serve God. Okay? Is that too tough? Endeavor in your get-togethers. You know, when you get together with like-minded believers, you have something there. There's an element there that does not exist when you're with unbelievers. When you're with your friends that you're trying to reach out to and help, you can be with them and you can do stuff with them, but there's something there that doesn't exist. No matter how good of friends you might be, you don't have fellowship. And fellowship is valuable. And so when you get together with people that want to serve the Lord, instead of tiptoeing around all the religious stuff, and instead of, you know what? It's not easy for me in a natural sense, all right? It's probably not easy for you either. But when you find that the world's fierce winds are blowing in your time together, fight against it. And talk about things that are designed to encourage your brother. And help them. And be, you know, an oasis of trees. The ones on this side, if the wind's coming from this way, the trees on this side can help the trees on this side not get so much wind. I don't know if the Lord really ever made a comparison like that in the Bible. But I think it's a good thought to think about. We can help each other. Let's make it fashionable among ourselves and in our associations with other believers, fashionable to serve the Lord and to talk about the Lord and to encourage one another in the Lord instead of letting our times be dragged down by the wind of the world. I want to go to another couple scriptures. I know time's getting away here. Jesus told his disciples, he said in Luke 21 and 34, I'll just read it here. He said, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares." You know what a really common response is in the world today? Among us today. Say, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I've been staying busy." "Well, how busy?" Now, that's the question I'm asking. It's not common. I don't really hear that. But I hear the answer, "Oh, I've been keeping busy." You know, that can cause our tree to blow over. When we get to where we don't really have time to do the will of God, where we're so busy trying to get ourselves fixed up in life. "Well, you know, maybe when I retire, I'll have more time to serve the Lord." It's not a good way to plan. The Lord wants us, no matter how busy life tries to make us, to be proactive and pull back deliberately until we know that we have time to do what the Lord wants us to do. That we have time to get into our closet and have our quiet times with the Lord. That we have time to help people. You know, if the Lord burdens you to help somebody, to do something, and you say, "Well, Lord, I can't because I'm too busy." I want to tell you something. You need to rethink your strategy in life a little bit. Ephesians 5 and 18. "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." These are keys. I want to give us some keys this morning. How we can stand upright in the world against the wind and be a tree of righteousness that's renewed day by day, that can be subjected to all of the external pressures. We are cast down but not forsaken. I want to read that again. Just... "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." It says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." There are things that we can do, that we should do deliberately to fight against the world's fierce winds in our own life. When the devil comes, I want to tell you, I wish that sometimes that we could get that all of a sudden our eyes could be opened when the devil comes along and brings thoughts that come that seem like reasonable thoughts. You know, that really wasn't fair what happened. And we think about that. We say, you know, it wasn't. That wasn't fair. You know, the man came to Jesus one time and he said, "I want you to speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." I'm going to assume, maybe it's not this way, but I'm going to assume for the sake of the discussion, because it would apply, that the man had a brother that was dishonest and was trying to cheat him. Jesus went right past all the fairness of it and went right to the... He said, "Whatever you do, your life consists of something that transcends any amount of money you can amass in this world, whether fairly or not. And whatever you do in this, if you give up your peace, and if you give up your joy, and you give up the feeling of, I love my brother, for whatever money you feel is rightfully yours, you've made a bad trade. Take heed and beware of covetousness. I want to tell you, I don't know how many times in my life I have been tempted to do this kind of deal or that. Or just in the normal course of life, do things and justify it with the thought of this is fair and this is right. And then the thought comes to me, take heed and beware of covetousness. Do you know that covetousness is listed in the very same place as fornication and those things in Ephesians 5 where it says, let it not be once named among you as become a saint? When we dabble in those things and we get those things into our heart, our tree's going to blow over. I want to tell you that we cannot maintain that kind of life where we're renewed by day. We're going to have to get these things in our heart and forsake the things that maybe sometimes are fair and right in order to have the peace of God ruling in our hearts. Because something's going to rule in your heart. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Maybe that's what this guy should have done. Maybe he did, I don't know. But he said, my brother's not dividing the inheritance with me. And we can go and we can stew about things like that. But and the Lord has a renewing for us. Because that's just an external thing. It's just an inheritance. Or it's just a car. Or it's just an overpriced restaurant meal. I found a bug in my food and I'm going to see how much mileage I can get out of it. Take heed and beware of covetousness. And speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The Lord wants to bring some renewing into your life. But if we don't be active and we don't actively do the things that we know we're supposed to do, we might miss it. And we might get all dragged down. One more, I hope we have time for one more scripture here. I want to 1 Peter 4 and 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Then it says, let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. I want to tell you that many times we as Christians can get weary in what we think is well-doing. And it's because we weren't really well-doing in the first place. And we get all dragged down and we get tired. And we think, you know, I just give an example. Well, I went to talk to this person because he was doing the wrong thing. He just really raked me over the coals and I can't stand it anymore. I think I'm just going to throw in the towel or at least I'm going to have a bad attitude about it. And maybe the Lord didn't want us to do that kind of stuff in the first place. Maybe the Lord had somebody else to go talk to this individual. You know, when our carnal attitudes get in there and we decide, I'm going to do this. And many times we suffer for it. Sometimes it's tempting to put on this pity hat and we say, well, I'm just suffering for Jesus. This is the way that the Lord's people are meant to be. I'm suffering for Jesus. And we were just being a busybody. Or we were just doing this and that wasn't the will of the Lord at all. I want to tell you that when you and I stay in the will of the Lord has an adequate amount of renewing for us. Where we can be maybe we will be tired. And maybe there, we'll go through some dry times. I know we will. But the Lord will have a time of renewing for us. But when we get out of the will of the Lord, and then we wonder why we don't have the grace of God and we don't have the renewing. Well, this is why. May the Lord help every one of us today to be able to tap into that source of renewing. We don't want to be some sort of a finished dead cabinet, so to speak. You set it outside and take. We have cabinets in our house that have been there for years and they look good, but you take them outside and they don't last very long at all. The Lord does not want us to go off and be a monk somewhere where we're away from all the external pressure. I don't tell you, you try to do that and the world's winds are going to blow there too. Because the biggest battle you'll ever fight in your life is going to be in your mind and from yourself. Pray for me.